conclusion of chapter 4 today, Lord willing. Paul is establishing some things to Timothy pertaining to the early church. We talked about 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, or what is known as the pastoral epistles. It was letters written to Timothy and Titus, being pastors of churches. And he's given them some warnings. He's given them some things to really pay attention and be aware of. But he doesn't give problem without solution. I raised my kids not to come to anybody with a problem that you didn't have some type of offering of solution. You don't just show up and go, hey, y'all are doing it all wrong. Offer some type of, hey, what if we tried it this way? Paul says, here's some of the problems you're going to face, but here's how you combat them. And I've read over this passage of Scripture number of times, and again, the Holy Spirit finally slows you down, and I'll tell y'all every week, words mean things. And Paul uses, Charlene and I was talking about it this morning, it's very wordy here in the final several scriptures here, or verses. But if you stop and see what Paul's saying, incidentally, back then they did that. They hung on every word, the words that were put together. And again, you know, the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to move his hand and write what he was writing. And he tells him, you know, and again, he's very concerned about the things that are happening inside the church. We still have that today. We still have things that happen inside the church. We've almost tuned out what happens outside the church. We've calloused over so much over it because of, you know, the influence of TV and just the things. You know, again, you know, in some of our lifetimes, you couldn't say a certain curse word on television. Well, forget that now. Forget that now. You know, we've allowed liberals to get in politically and change what our forefathers set up to do. Free speech and, you know, Second Amendment, those kind of things that they say, oh, that's not what they meant. How do they know what they meant? You know? But in primetime TV now, you can hear just about anything you want to. You know, they'll bleep out some stuff, but allow them to say God's name in vain. Go figure that one out, you know? That's why they have that little old button you can just hit and move right on. You know, if they got to have that in some show, I don't have to watch it. I just move right on. Y'all stop or we'll never get to the lesson. So Paul lays out some things here, but then he says, hey, here's how you combat those, or here's how you should be to your congregation. And it's basically a blueprint for a pastor. Pastor can read this and say, I'm supposed to be this, 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 and this. And again, a lot of different words in here that Paul has used, again, through the Holy Spirit. And he didn't just throw them in there, oh yeah, and you should have charity. No, he said you should have, you know, charity and spirit and faith and purity and some things that are going on around you. And of course, a lot of it was because of where he was. Y'all understand what Ephesus was. Ephesus was a city where they had the Temple of Diana. They had 40-foot green marble columns, 40-foot high, taller than this building. About 150 of them around it. It was for the fallen goddess Diana. Basically a lot of pornography and illicit sexual things that got you into that religion. So the city itself was pretty immoral. So when Paul says, oh, by the way, you should have purity, Man, don't let the world influence you. Don't let that come in. Because let me tell you, the only thing we have to combat that stuff with is not doing it. Don't tell me everybody does it. Because I'll raise my hand. You know, he says some things here pertaining to where Timothy was at. I don't have any evidence to back this up, just other than some studying I did. But, you know, we always think of Timothy as a young guy. Paul says here, don't let him despise your youth. So we think of a youth, you know, as somebody in the youth department. Because of John and some of the others and their ages that we can go back and set up, Timothy could have been in his mid to late 30s. You know, I mean, he wasn't just this, you know, kid right out of high school, you know, trying to... I think I've told some of y'all the story before. I had a young man that kind of took under my wing, and he wanted to be a bull rider, and he just come around and went everywhere with me. And as far as a person, not a youth or a kid or an adult, as far as a person, I've never met a finer person than him. Not a finer person than him. Morally, just straight-laced kid, just a good kid. He came to me one time. He just graduated high school and was out going, and he came to me and he said, "Hey, I'm gonna apply for a youth pastor job. I want to give you as a reference." And I said, "I don't think you're ready. I did youth for 10 years. Me and Charlene did the youth department for about 10 years, and I said I don't think you're ready. You're a youth, you know. You haven't had the experience and stuff." And he said, "Well, I'm gonna do it, you know." So they hired him. About 2-3 weeks later, he called me up. He said, "Hey, can you date somebody in your class?" I said, "Depends. Is she cute?" I said, "I don't think he resigned." I said, "I didn't think you were ready." A little while later, he contacted me and said, "I'm going to try it again." And I said, "You know what? I think you're a little more ready now." And the lady that was hiring called me, and I told her the story that I didn't think he was. And he's still at that job now today. But you have to be careful age-wise, not physically now, but spiritually. We talked about that the last couple of weeks. It's your spiritual age that counts in spiritualness, okay? Paul says, don't let anybody despise your youth by your physical attributes because you're older spiritually. Okay? That's what he's trying to get across here. So after we pray, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Lord, thank you again for all the ones who've come out today. Father, I pray that you teach this lesson, and Lord, that we see the meaning of the words that you've put down. Lord, that Lord, we can see ourselves, see Christ, Lord, through us, and Lord, that others would see Christ through us. Lord, that should be our goal, and Lord, I pray that, Lord, through the Scriptures, we will just take that to heart. Lord, forgive us where we failed you, and Lord, bless all the prayer request that was offered up, Lord, the faith that was shown. Lord, I pray for Tony, who's also out traveling. Lord, you give him traveling mercies. In Christ's name, amen. 1 Timothy 4, verse 11 says, "These things command and teach." We're supposed to teach these things. I'm going to stand up here and teach y'all, but y'all are going to learn right along because we're reading along here. Sometimes I preface when I tell you, hey, this is Kelly theology, just some things that I've thought, and you know, you put the Scriptures together and go, well, what do you think about that? Like last week and the week before that and the week before that. But I want you to read along, and as the Scripture says, try each spirit, whether they be of God or whether they be of Satan. So we keep an eye on it, but we can read it for ourselves. Incidentally, that's why King James said we need an English translated Bible so that everybody can have the Word of God in their own hands. And they can read it themselves, and some man is not standing up here reading in a dead language and saying, here's what God told me to tell you. I know we use the metaphor sheep a lot, but we're not to be that kind of sheep. He says, these things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Again, we can insert the commas as we read, but until we stop and see what he's talking about, he says, don't let them despise your youth. He says, first of all, you need to command and teach these things. Timothy was going to have his hands full to begin with. He was a pastor of a church. And again, it wasn't one assembly that was brought here. It was numerous ones placed out. Wes and I visited last week or so. Could have been maybe 100 that he was over. So he was going to have his hands full. Paul said, these things command and teach. There's some things that we can't deviate from. Doctrine is one of them. All doctrine is what the Bible teaches. That's why I say, hopefully everybody's got their King James Version opened up and they're reading along and we see the true Word of God in our language. He says, let no man despise thy youth. Don't let them look at your physical attributes. We see that done numerous times in the Bible. A guy came to King Saul one time and he said, man, let me tell you about this young man. And they brought this young man forward named David. And Saul said, he don't look like very much. But the guy that was presenting him said, man, you don't know. He's a mighty man of war. Killed thousands. He's got courage. He's got strength. He just looked at his physical attributes and said, boy, he ain't much. You know what David did when Goliath challenged their armies? The armies looked at Goliath and said, my God, he's too big to battle. You know what David said? My God, he's too big to miss. Yeah? Man, we all face Goliaths in our life. Man, they can be different forms of whatever. But with God with you, directing the stone, you know that the worst mistake Goliath ever made in his life was underestimating his physical stature. He looked at him and said, that little runt, I'll feed him to the birds. That was the worst mistake he ever made. He didn't see what God had put in him. So Paul says, don't let them despise your youth because you look young. Man, you're older than much spiritually. He says, here's how you do it though. He says, be an example of the believers, first in word. Of course, we understand that word is logos, which is Christ. I think of all the accolades I've ever been bestowed, we were at the national finals one time and it was early in the week and I come around a blind corner and I just ran into a lady. We just kind of run into each other. I said, oop, I'm sorry, ma'am. Walked around her and went on. That was it. That was the whole incident. On Sunday, she came up to me and she said, I just want you to know, we ran into each other. I remember the incident. And she said, I want you to know, Christ was beaming out of you. Him be still. Well, maybe that wasn't the whole truth. No. She said, Christ was beaming out of you. I want to get that again.
Amen.
I just said, I'm sorry. You know, I bumped into sorry and walked around and went on. But she surmised that, hey, you got something going on here. Paul tells Timothy, you need to be that in word. They need to see Christ in you. We need to see Christ in our pastor in every aspect. What would Jesus do in this situation, in this situation, in this situation? He says you need to be an example in conversation. Since the King James translated this into English, that word conversation has changed. Now we speak of dialogue and things that we have, but that word actually goes back to lifestyle. It's your lifestyle. You need to be an example in your lifestyle. And you need to be an example that people can look at and say, that's how my life needs to be arranged. With order, with kindness, with mainly order. You know, if you can't subject yourself, and we had this discussion this morning, if you can't subject yourself to worldly authority, to mankind authority, you'll have all the trouble in the world subjecting yourself to divine authority. If you can't listen to mankind and subject yourself into the proper things that are supposed to be done, why on earth would you do an invisible power? And I can show you example after example. But Paul says you need to be an example in your lifestyle. People need to see Christ in you, in your life. He says you need to be an example in charity. And we went over this word. Brother Crawford has preached this word extensively lately. Charity is compassion. Christ loved everyone exactly the same. We can't do that. We need to try. I'm telling you, what'll help you more than anything else grow spiritually is pray for someone who doesn't really like you. And it's hard to do. God bless them. You know? But you keep praying for them, and your attitude will change about them, and maybe their attitude will change. But it's hard to do. And I had a guy one time that just put me through the ringer. And I just kept praying for him. And I told him I was praying for him. I really did. It must be me, Tim. Pick your hands up. I think, okay, all right. He's got his hands back there on the buttons. But Christ loved one and all the same. He said you need to be an example in spirit. The human spirit needs to be full of the Holy Spirit. Our human spirit can't do it. But we need to give in to the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit indwell us. The Holy Spirit can do those kind of things. We can't do it. He says you need to be an example in spirit. He says you need to be an example in faith. Faith is your conviction. I'll tell y'all, every Sunday morning we come in here, and people who are very shy and aren't very outgoing raise their hand and say, pray for so-and-so, they need prayer. They've shown their faith. They've said, you know what, I know if I raise my hand and mention their name, that's my faith. That's what God operates off of, is our faith. Amen. When the apostles were being persecuted to death in the book of Acts, and we read of what was going on, they were put in jail and said, if you don't quit preaching, we're going to kill you. They came out, and the obvious prayer is, God, change that guy's heart, because I know you want us praying. Change him so that we can keep doing this. But that's not what the apostles said. They said, increase our faith. Increase our faith that you're going to protect us no matter what's going on in the world. That was the proper way to look. Increase our faith. When things aren't going well, increase my faith. increase my faith in you that whatever's going on is what you've got going. Increase my faith. He says you need to be an example in faith. That's your conviction. No matter what's going on in your life, steady as a rock with God. You know, we all know people who are still today mad at God. Something happened in their life, they're mad at God. Boy, they're going to show Him. You know, don't want nothing to do with that church stuff. I'm mad at God. God did this to me whenever. You think that changed God's aspect of what He's doing in their life? I mean, they're the ones that are going to suffer. You know, whatever God's got going on, happy is where we should be. He's God. He said, you need to be an example in purity. That's cleanliness or hygiene or holiness. Ephesus, as I said earlier, was a tough place morally. Again, there was things all around that was just part of society. You know, you just, in the marketplace, wherever you were at, basically like today, there it is. You know, we choose to look the other way or not be brought into that. We were on a youth deal one time down at my mom's place, and you got to be going there to get there. It's in the middle of nowhere, and we built us a big bonfire, and we'd played all day, and we were all kind of standing around the bonfire, and the kids were just giving testimonies, you know, what God had done for them, and it was just a real good time. And I'm telling you, out of wherever, I look up and here comes this moth from wherever. And I see him and he goes around the fire like that and then right down in it. And I told the kids, I said, y'all seen the moth? That's what sin does to you. It draws you in by that light. You come around and, oh, I'm just going to stand around it. And before long, you're in it and it consumes you. I mean, what an object lesson. Wasn't as good for the moth. It was a great object lesson. The moth was consumed by it. But as I said before, we're so calloused to sin today. I mean, I don't watch any of them that I'm aware of, but don't all sitcoms have the gay guy on there? They got the token gay guy, and he's the funny one. And boy, isn't that funny? That's an abomination to God. But we laugh at it, you know, or promiscuity, or, you know, the movies that are out now, the weekend pass or whatever it is, hall pass. That's horrible, y'all. That's just preposterous. Paul says you need to be an example in purity. Be careful of your surroundings that they don't lure you in. And then, again, you begin to tolerate it. And before long, it's brought in. He says in verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Again, we slow down here. Timothy had, no doubt, copies of the Old Testament that he could read. And again, I'll tell y'all over and over, there wasn't too many people that knew the Old Testament better than Paul. Paul grew up, he was a Pharisee, he was taught under Gamaliel, at that time was one of the wisest men around, and he was taught under him. He knew the Old Testament Scriptures. He knew them forwards and backwards, but he didn't know them with Christ in them. When he got saved, Jesus Christ showed him he was who he was talking about in the Old Testament. Paul had to go back and relook the whole Old Testament with Jesus Christ in mind. That's why I tell y'all, when you read the Old Testament, don't read it with Jesus in the back of your mind, read it with Jesus in the front of your mind. Because it's about Him. He says, give attendance to reading. More than likely, he had some of the other epistles that were sent to the other churches, because he was probably with Paul when he wrote some of those. You know, you can imagine, hey, can I get a copy of that before you send it over to them? Before Phoebe takes that one, could I maybe get a copy of that? So he had some of the scriptures with him. Paul says, give attendance to reading. You know, you can sit down and in 1 week, relatively easy, you can read your Bible all the way through. I think it's something you should do. It doesn't help you that much, and take that with a grain of salt. If you fly from New York to Los Angeles over this great country, you'll see part of the country. You'll get kind of an idea of what's going on, but you won't have any idea of what it's really like. You know, until you get in a vehicle and get down on the road and travel and stop and see and take in some of the local culture, you really won't see what America's really like. You can get an idea by flying over it. Look down and, you know, you can see the Mississippi River from the air. You can go over the Great Divide, over the Rocky Mountains. You can see the deserts out west. But man, until you get down there and experience it on the ground, you really don't get the whole picture. So he says you need to give attendance to reading. Make sure that you read and study. And in my notes here, I said, today we should read. I'll tell you, if I don't have any other reason than to hang to the King James Version of the Bible, but for 2 Timothy 2:15. It's my life verse now. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved. It's the only English translated Bible, including the New King James, that leaves the word study in there. Why do you think they want the word study out? Because if you study it, you might go to figuring some stuff out. We're to study to show ourselves approved. Paul's telling Timothy here, if you want to combat some of the things that I'm telling you about, study the Word of God. The answers are all in there. He says, continue to read. And then he says, you need to give attendance to exhortation. Exhortation is pointed toward the pastor or the shepherd. We can use the term shepherd because we all kind of got that idea of what a shepherd is. You know, he's got his staff and his little hook staff deal that he's got. But he leads. I told y'all a couple of weeks ago when I finally figured out that my dogs wasn't supposed to be pushing cattle away from me, they're supposed to be bringing them to me, my dogs ended up a lot smarter. You know, instead of me chasing them off, quit bringing them over here, we're going that way. The shepherd is to lead. He's to lead the flock beside still waters, before green pastures. Just read the 23rd Psalm and you'll get the idea of what a pastor does. He leads them in the paths of righteousness. He's there to comfort and console. There's a lot of that. But that's what that term exhortation means, is to be like the shepherd, and the idea that we have a shepherd. And then he says you need to give attendance to doctrine. Paul mentions this numerous times. There was things that Paul would waver on. If you want to know what kind of courage Paul knew that Timothy had, Timothy was, let's say he was a youth up to a certain age. But he's pretty well a grown man, okay? He allowed Paul to circumcise him. I've faced a lot of mean bulls in my time, but that's courage, brother. That's faith and that's courage. Paul knew Timothy had the stock with him. He knew he had that because he knew what he said, yeah, I'll do whatever it takes. Paul would waver on that so that Timothy could also reach the Jew. Okay? That's why he did that. Paul said there's no need of it, but sometimes you got to do some stuff to reach other people within scriptural reason, okay? That doesn't mean, well, I'm going to go to the bar because I'm trying to reach my buddies. That's not what that means. Paul took a hard stance on doctrine, though. He said there's no wavering on doctrine. And again, he thought doctrine was absolutely vital. Then he says in verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presby. This word in the Greek here, neglect, is basically where we get our idea of use it or lose it. You know, somebody says, oh, God's given me this voice to sing, and I quit singing, and now I don't have that voice anymore. Or He gives you a talent to do something and you don't do it. This is the verse where we get it at. The Greek form of that verb that's used right there indicates that there was something going on that maybe Timothy needed a little bit of prodding. Maybe he was occasionally in neglect of some of the talent that he was given. The example given is fireplace tools. Everybody got about 4 fireplace tools? Counting the broom, right? But you got a poker, you got the tongs, and you got the shovel. You use all 3 of them almost equally, but they all are utilized for different things. Why would you have a poker if every now and then you didn't need to kind of get the fire going? Right? Again, that Greek word there of neglect is some indication that maybe Timothy wasn't always up to speed and maybe needed a little prodding or poking. He says, which was given to thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. I tell people when they get saved, write it down in your Bible. Or I'll write it down in my Bible if I lead someone to the Lord. And you just have that day. I can't tell you the day I was saved. I can tell you there was a day. But if you've got that day, here Paul says, hey, remember back to that day when they laid hands on you and everything got going? Remember that day. It was the same thing as, hey, write that date down. He's reminding him, hey, remember when things got going and how fired up you were? Well, don't be neglecting that. He says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. That meditate is something we don't do anymore. It means to ponder, to be diligent. It leads to mature, reasoned conclusions. If we meditate on something and we think it all out, I mean, a wise man takes all the information he can get and then bases his decision on that. That's what Paul's telling Timothy here. Meditate on the Scriptures and you'll make wise and reasoned conclusions. That word may appear means to be visible, to open sight, or maybe made manifest. My prayer for Carla has been that others around her will see God in action. Amen. And she's went through this not for no reason, not for that God would be made manifest. That someone would say, you know what? This is God. So that it's not just, wow, you know, boy, there was 6 months. No, what really went on? Paul said, if you'll meditate on this and stick by the stuff, The profiting will be that others around you will see what's going on. If you keep purity in a town of Ephesus, as bad as it is, others around you will see, hey, he did it. I can do it. If that little young upstart can do it, I can do it. Verse 16 says, take heed unto thyself. And there it is again. And unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. He's concerned about Timothy, first of all, because again, when he leaves out of being pastor there, there was a death sentence out there for the Christians. Paul was fixing to experience that himself firsthand. But look what he says there. He says, if you do this, you'll save both thyself and them that hear thee. I'll tell you, one day I'm going to stand before God and answer to what I taught you guys. If I'm right and I stick by the stuff, I not only save myself, but the ones that hear me. Amen. Brother Crawford's going to answer the same thing. He's going to stand one day and stand in judgment of what he was teaching, because all of y'all, if you don't try the Scriptures, are going to follow right along. Follow the Scriptures. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for the time that we could spend in your Word. Father, I just pray that we're edified, lifted up, Lord, that we could give an answer to every man, Lord, that asks the reason, Lord, for our hope, Lord, that our hope's in you. And Father, I pray for those who are out sick and those who are traveling. Lord, you'll just, Lord, give them traveling mercies. Lord, heal them so that people would look up and say, that's of God. Lord, and we would all praise you. Lord, give you the honor and glory in Christ's name.